Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth. Great to be back with you all today. My guest, popular author, speaker, pilgrimage leader, Steve Ray. Steve, great to back you have on the show. How are you?
Thanks. We're getting to be pretty good friends here on this over Zoom.
The pleasure's all mine. Hopefully one day we can meet in person.
I'd love that. That'd be great.
So our topic today, everyone, is, I'm sure if you've been Catholic for any amount of time, you've heard. You get the question, are you born again? So why are Catholics asked, are you born again, and where does it come from?
They're asked that question because they don't know how to answer it. It is a fish hook. It's one that the evangelical will go and they'll catch you with it, and you can't get away. And you also don't know how to answer it and how to pull that barb out. So when I was an evangelical, we used to go door to door, or we would do evangelization. And one of the questions you'd ask Catholics, going to heaven, that was one that they don't know how to answer either. And the other one was, are you born again? Because they would say, well, I'm Catholic. I say, well, I know you're Catholic. That's precisely why I asked you if you were born again. And you don't know how to answer that, do you? Because your pastor's never taught you that. You go to your parish, you go to your Catholic church every week, and he tells you all these things you got to do to be saved. But he never told you about being born again. That if you are born again, you're a brand new creation in Christ. You go to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And then the Catholics kind of and then you quickly open the Bible and you read to them from John chapter 3. Which says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, you are a teacher. And Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says in verse 4, well, I'm too old, too big. How can I get back in my mother's womb and come out again? What are you talking about born again? And Jesus chides him. And he says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you will never see the kingdom of God. So he ties being born again to water and Spirit. Now, what did Jesus just do? This is John chapter 3. What do we hear about in John chapter 1? That Jesus had gone down to the Jordan River. He had gone into the water, and the Spirit came down as a dove, water and Spirit. Nicodemus should have known this. It was on the headlines of the Jerusalem Post. Everybody knew it. Everybody was reading it that day in the paper and on the internet. Jesus goes down to the Jordan River, and by the way, the Gospels tell us that all of Jerusalem went down to hear John. So this was no hidden type thing. This was something all of Jerusalem went down. That's a 20-mile walk, by the way. You start at 3,000 feet above sea level, and you go down to the lowest place on the face of the earth. If Mount Everest is the highest, John was baptizing at the lowest place, which is 1,250 feet below sea level in the Jordan Valley. So they had to not only walk 20 miles to get down there to where Jesus was getting baptized, but then they had to walk back up 4,250 feet in elevation, back 20 miles to the top of Jerusalem. So all of Jerusalem went down. This was not a hidden event. People knew what John was doing. Jesus was already, I think, probably not known like he's going to be, but it was enough to be newsworthy. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus had just gone down into the water. The dove comes down, and then Jesus says to Nicodemus, water and spirit is how you're born again. He winks his eye at him and says, remember me yesterday down at the Jordan River? That's what it is, water and spirit. Now, I'll end with this, and then we can dive into that a little more. When people ask me now if I'm born again, they don't know who I am, and they don't know that I used to be an evangelical Protestant that asked that question too. And they say, Steve, are you born again? And I say, yes, I'm born again the Bible way.
It's interesting. I remember going up to people in the parking lot and asking that question. You know, are you born again? And then, of course, they scatter off, run off. or you get the blank looks like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So what gave you the right to approach me and ask me a personal question like that? Who are you?
Right. So, and I know between Catholics and Protestants, it's a case of semantics in some ways. So can you go over that? What a Protestant may mean by born again, and what a Catholic may mean by born again? Like you said, born again the Bible way.
Well, if you play along with them when they say you need to be born again and say, well, how do I get born again? They will usually say you have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and ask him to come into your heart. And if you go along with them further to the point of compliance, and they'll show you some Bible verses, especially the one in John chapter 3. They won't emphasize the water and spirit, though. They'll emphasize just the born again. Then they'll take you to Corinthians. I can't think of the verse right off where it's located. I'm getting old, I guess. But it says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Then you go to that verse, and you say that once you become this new creation, once you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, say they jump from places. They don't ever deal with context. Because mm-hmm. if they dealt with context here, they'd have to deal with what's water and spirit. But they quickly jump to Paul, who says that if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. All this, what's old has passed away. All your old habits, all your old bad way of thinking, your vices, you get a brand new start. And the Protestant also, when they get a Catholic to pray this prayer, oftentimes what the Catholic is really doing is opening their life up to the Holy Spirit, maybe for the first time. And many of them get this flood of emotion, and they feel like a new creation. Along with the kind of the priming of the pump with the evangelical, you know, they kind of get the motion going sometimes like that. Right. And especially in a meeting where they got the music playing and everybody's in a lather, come forward and accept Jesus and you'll be born again. Oh, you know, even people feel that way at rock concerts too. I mean, it's the music. It's the, you can simulate the Holy Spirit sometimes at a good rock concert. But the Catholic then will maybe feel this new sense of joy or euphoria, and then they're convinced they're born again, which immediately then makes them doubt and question everything they learned as a Catholic and makes them now become hostile many times to the Catholic Church. And in order, they now join this new club. And one of the reasons that Catholics that leave and join the new club of Protestantism are so vicious at times and anti-Catholic is because they're still trying to prove to their new club how much they really did leave the old club, if that makes sense.
It does.
Now, being born again, what happens when this experience takes place? I use the story of a man who wants to rent a room out of his house, and he puts a sign up, room to rent. And God comes by, knocks on the door. He says, I'd like to rent that room. Can you show it to me? So a guy takes him upstairs, a nice room there. And God says, I like what I see. I'll take it. But I'd also like to have this room over here. And the guy says, oh, no. I'm only renting one room. You can have that. Don't get greedy. He said, okay. Well, if you ever change your mind, let me know. So later on, the guy needs another $100 a month. And he says, he's not so bad a tenant. Maybe I'll just let him have that room too. And God says, that's very nice. I'll take it. And I'd also like these rooms if you ever would like to give those up too. Pretty soon, God's got the whole house. And the guy realizes with God living in the whole house, there's much more joy. The house is bigger. It's more joyful. It's lighter than it was before. The analysis is in our lives, we have rooms too. And many of us as Catholics, we give God this room, but we're not going to give him this room because that's my favorite sin. And this is my way of doing things that we've always done it this way. And I'm not going to go getting religious, or I'm not going to. And what happens is when that Catholic hears about being born again and giving your life to Jesus, in a way, it's a renewal. It's a reformation. It's a a revival in a sense. All of a sudden, he's opened the door like he hasn't before. And Jesus comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he senses it. He knows it's there, and he feels now he's been born again. It's not the biblical meaning of born again. Born again in the Bible has a definition. It has a biblical meaning in the context, and it's water and spirit. The Protestant piggybacks off that to a unique, ethereal, kind of a surreal experience. And they said, that's what happens when you get born again. That's the misunderstanding of it. Okay. Next, we can discuss what it really is, born again.
Right. So how should a Catholic respond to that question?
I was at a dinner one time, some friends, when I first became Catholic, they invited me over for dinner. And they're a good Catholic couple, well-known. And they also invited a Protestant Baptist pastor and his wife, but they didn't tell me in advance.
Oh, they're trapping you.
They set me up. So we walked in ready to have dinner with, another couple, figured it'd be another Catholic couple. But here's this guy. He walks in and I see him put the Bible on his lap under the tablecloth. And I knew immediately what was going to happen. That couple had invited the two of us over because they knew that we would start fireworks, and they weren't disappointed. As soon as we were starting our salad, the man says to me, Steve, are you born again? And I said, yes, I'm born again the Bible way. They're not ready for that answer. Back in those days, if you were in the parking lot and you asked somebody, are you born again? And they said, I'm born again the Bible way, it would have thrown you for a loop. You wouldn't have been quite sure what to say.
Exactly.
And especially then if they laid it on you that they were a Catholic and they were born again the Bible way, which implies that you're not born again the Bible way. So this guy asked me if I'm born again. And I said, yes, I'm born again the Bible way. And he says, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, we'll get to that in a moment. But I said, let's first hear how you say you're born again. Since you asked the question, you want me to respond in a negative that I'm not, so you can tell me how to get there. He says, okay, you have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You believe in him and accept him into your heart. And I said, where do you find that in the Bible? There's no verse in the Bible that says I have to accept him as my personal Lord or Savior, nor that I have to ask him into my heart. There's nowhere that has a sinner's prayer that you would like to lead me in now. There is no, where do you find the sinner's prayer in the Bible, or that you are supposed to pray a sinner's prayer? So then I said, let's look at it this way. God is really kind of boring. He does things the same way all the time. He knows how to do it right, so he does it the same way all the time. It gets predictable. When he wants to start something new, he does it with water and spirit. The first two verses of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and water covered the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. First two verses of the Bible, you've got water and spirit. And what does he do? From that chaos, he forms land and animals and people. Something new got started from the Spirit hovering over the water. Now we get another new something. Noah is the only man that walks with God. Everybody else is a sinner, so God's going to save him. And how does he do it? Through water and spirit. He builds a boat, big boat. And says that he is saved through the water. And what do we see fly over top of the ark when it was done? A white dove. So again, you've got water and spirit. And I didn't make that up because Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, as Noah and his family were saved through water, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Now, that's a verse I never knew was in the Bible when I was a Baptist. I don't know how do you deal with that? Since then, I've gone back and looked at theology and commentaries, and people bend over backwards and twist the Bible like a rubber nose to deal with that verse because it doesn't say what they want it to say. So Peter says that baptism now saves you, corresponding to Noah, something new. Even the Jews call Noah the second Adam. Why? Because God is starting over again. He's starting a new humanity, wipe the sinners away, and starting with a new humanity with Noah, starting over again. So it's a new creation. Even the Jews call him that, the new Adam. Now there's another new one too, and I brought it up with this guy. I said also in the book of Exodus, we see the children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt, and God's going to deliver them from the land of Egypt, and he takes them through the Red Sea. And what was over top of them when they went through the Red Sea? The Spirit of God in a pillar of fire. So here again, you've got them going through the water with the Spirit. And I'm not making that up either, because St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4, I'll summarize it, as the children of Israel were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, water and spirit, so you have been baptized into Christ. Now we get to the prophets. They all say that the new covenant is going to be, you are going to have a new, you are going to be sprinkled clean with water, and a new spirit will be put within you. I think it's Ezekiel 35:20 says that. So the prophets are already telling you that the new covenant is going to be water and spirit too. Now we get to Jesus, who goes down into the water and the spirit comes down. Now things are starting to congeal. The jello is starting to set here. We can see what's happening. And there's a trajectory to this. Day of Pentecost, Peter's preaching. And everybody says, Peter, we've sinned. We've done wrong. What should we do? And Peter says, accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and ask him to come into your heart. This is the first Holy Ghost gospel message ever preached. And Peter did not, by the way, say that. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized? That's something you have to do. Where's the faith alone? Right. This is water and spirit again. Now, Paul is on the road to Damascus. He gets knocked off his high horse. He's groveling around in the dust. Some little guy takes him by hand into Damascus, and I've been there, by the way. And Ananias says, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, why do you tarry? Come on, get with it. Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon his name. Paul also did not say to get born again by asking Jesus to come into your heart. He says, repent and be baptized, calling and be washed with water, washing away. The water of baptism washes away your sins. This is what Ananias says in the book of Acts. So the trajectory is, this is a whole thing of water and spirit, is water baptism. And then in Titus, he says that you were washed with the washing and renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's their way of describing what happens when you're baptized. You are washed by the renewal, regenerated by the washing, and you are renewed by the Holy Spirit. So you have even Paul then explaining it even further. And Romans chapter 1, do you not know that those who have been baptized have been baptized into Christ? He's not talking about a spiritual baptism or a going forward at a Holy Ghost gospel meeting under the big tent when the preacher comes up from Tennessee and says, you got to be born again. This is not what it's talking about. When you have been baptized, everybody knew what that meant. And then you take it even further, and I'll quit. I know I'm talking too much here, but when you take the trajectory further, we start with Genesis, go all the way through the Old Testament, the prophets and the gospels and the epistles. Then you get to the early church and the early church, the apostolic fathers, those who were trained and taught by the apostles. They said, we still had the words of the apostles ringing in our ears. You are born again through water baptism. And Augustine said, who would be so evil as to forbid an infant from being born again through water baptism.
Right. So we're born again through baptism, like you said. What about those who say, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized.
The catechism is very clear that baptism is the normal means of salvation, but God is not bound to his sacraments. I'll get that verse while we're going along here, but God is not bound to the sacraments. He has the sacraments and he is not bound to them. In other words,
finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.